This morning, I want to go ahead and I want to talk about the pursuit. And we say, the pursuit of what? And then when you look at it, I want to talk about the pursuit of excellence. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of we as Christians. What are we pursuing in life, and what are we striving to do? And when you look at this definition, the Cambridge Dictionary has several definitions for the word pursuit. And two of them are the act of trying to achieve a plan or activity or situation, and usually over a long period of time. And so it's not that something just happens at the spur of the moment, but it takes a while when you think about pursuing something. And then it goes on, the definition, one of the other ones was an activity that you spend time and energy doing. And so when we think about us, our lives as Christians, you know, when we're pursuing the Word of God, it takes usually a long time. We just don't grab and understand everything that God wants us to understand in just a matter of a few days. And we have to spend time and energy in doing that. And the American Heritage Dictionary defines excellence as the state, quality, or condition of excelling. And it goes on and uses the word superiority. But once again, it's the state, quality, or condition of excelling. And so that's what we're striving to do, is we're trying to excel at something. And hopefully as we go through this, you'll understand what we're trying to work on and what we're trying to get to. The word excel is defined as to do or be better than, surpass, show superiority, or surpass others. And so that's one of the definitions of excel. But when you look at it, is that really what we as Christians want to do, is to surpass others? Is that our whole objective, is to make ourselves number one? And a prominent part of those words means a competition or being better than others. But when we think of the pursuit of excellence from a biblical standpoint, is that what is meant? Is that what we really want to do? And so when you think about that, Brian Harber puts this out in his book written, Rising Above the Crowd. And he said, look, success in today's term, if you look at it in a business standpoint, is success means being the best. And that's what you want to be, is you want to be the best. And then he says excellence means being your best. And I want us just to think about those two terms, success and excellence, and what they mean. And success to many, as I mentioned, in the business world, it means being better than everyone else. It means exceeding the achievements of other people. And those of us who have worked in the business world, we know that you work with some pretty competitive people. Their whole objective is, and sometimes when they want to climb the ladder, they don't care who they step on, and they want to be better than anybody else. And it doesn't make any difference what they do to get to it. And they always want to shine the brightest out of everybody. And sometimes we use that for word as they're saying, like, you know, they're kind of stuck on themselves. And sometimes we look at it from the standpoint is they're not really a team player. And so that's what people think of sometimes when they think of success, is I got to be better than everybody else. I got to be better than every one of you. And I don't care what I do or what I say to make myself look better. But when you look at excellence, excellence means being better today than you were yesterday, and tomorrow than today. And it means matching your practice or your habits with your potential. And so that's what we want to do, is we want to excel. Our excellence needs to be, we want to live our life as a Christian better than what we did yesterday. And if we're striving, we want to be better tomorrow. We need to be on this continual pattern of growth. And so when we look at that and we think about it, that's what we need to do. The pursuit of excellence is never a matter of simply just choosing between good and bad, but choosing what is best or superior, because it better enables us to accomplish what God has designed for us to do, to be and to do. And so that's one of the things that when we look at as Christians, we want to follow God's pattern. We want to look at the things that are said, because what do we want to do is we want to be better, we want to excel, but we want to do it in the manner in which God tells us to do it. And so he's given us his words and his instructions in the New Testament of how we're going to do that. And he wants us to be able to achieve those things so we can be pleasing to him. So the pursuit of excellence must include the elimination of some things, even though they may be good and legitimate. You probably say, why would you eliminate some things that are good, or why would you eliminate some things that are legitimate? But sometimes, that's not that we can't do them, but sometimes we need to put those things aside. And I go to that when I think about what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, look, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So Paul's saying, look, there's some things that I can do, and the things that you can do, but it may not be the best for those around. When Paul talks about the eating of meats, he says, if it'll cause my brother or sister to sin, I won't eat meat. There's things that were lawful for him to do, but he said, look, if it's going to tear down or destroy my brother or sister's conscience, I won't do it. So even though eating of meat in and of itself was good, but those who were coming out of that world of idolatry, it may not have been so good. So Paul says, look, I'll push that aside. I'll let my freedoms go in order to be able to benefit you or benefit somebody else. And he goes on at the end of verse 24 when he says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And so that's when I talk about pursuit of excellence, that we need to pursue what's excellent in the sight of God. And Paul goes and he says, look, let no one seek his own, but let each one seek the other's well-being. It goes back to what we were talking about before in the business world. Sometimes people will step on you. They'll do whatever they want to make their light shine brighter than anybody else. And their whole goal and objective is not to help you, but to help themselves. And so when you think about our theme for this year, for 2023, and Josh touched on it a couple of weeks ago, and then the first Sunday, next Sunday, he'll preach his second sermon on imitating Christ. And he'll have his subject, which he had over a whole list of. But it's what Paul said to them, to the Corinthians. He said, look, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And so when you think about that, Paul said, look, don't imitate me because I'm me. You imitate me because I imitate Christ. And that should be our attitude as far as looking, having other people look at us. Is do we really want them to imitate us? Or do we want them to imitate Christ as they see Christ in us? And so Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, look, not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, he says, but I press on. That which I may lay hold of, for that which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Paul had this attitude, and when we think about it, and I want to keep going back to this pursuit of excellence. Because Paul says, look, I'm not like I've already obtained it. But he says, I press on. And we talked about like the pursuit, the word pursuit means that it's a long journey. It's a continual action. Things that need to be done. You and I are not going to be learn to do everything that we need to be or do in Christ just in a matter of days or weeks or months or years. It's a whole lifetime of pursuit. And so Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, look, I press on. I keep pushing forward. And he continues in Philippians 3, verse 13, when he says, look, yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So the pursuit of knowledge, and that's what we need to do. And that's what Paul said, look, he says, I count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And why, Paul? He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And that's what our pursuit should be, is that we should be pursuing everything he says is rubbish. And it's hard for us in today's society sometimes, because we live in such a materialistic society. Everything you see on TV wants you to buy this and wants you to have this. And look, if you do this, look how people look. And we talk about this, and some of you I've talked about it in here. And I think it's kind of funny, as you drive around, and you probably noticed it, It's like building is going crazier. Houses, townhouses, apartments. Every time you turn around, something new is going up. But one thing that's really interesting to me is that when you see a building going up, and you see them clearing land, you're thinking, okay, a shopping center or this or that. But then they build a storage place, and you store it. And then next thing you know, it's not just one story, it's two stories, it's three stories, it's four stories, and it's not just regular, just build a building, you put your stuff in it, but now they have it climate controlled. Because we want your stuff not to get damaged. And I say this because I look at myself sometimes, I'm going like, we as a society, we're in love with stuff. And I told a couple of people this. I said, the scary thing is, and I want you to think about yourself, is if you would have been one of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, would you have been one of the ones going like, wait, I don't have everything packed up. I got my tent. I need, don't leave me. Because I got too much stuff. And I'm guilty of that. And so we need to live our lives in the pursuit of excellence. What are we counting as rubbish? We can't take it with us. So think about it from this perspective, is that the pursuit of excellence is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. Paul made a choice every single day of his life. He imitated Christ, who made a choice every single day of his life. His disciples and his apostles, they had to make choices. You and I have to make choices every single day of our lives. Sometimes those choices aren't good choices. They're not godly choices. We put other things ahead of God, and so we need to be careful about this, is that when we decide that we're going to pursue excellence, it's a decision that you and I both have to make. And to think about Christian, we're climbing up. Our goal should be heaven. And some people, when you think about what goes on in people's lives, they just give up. But quitting is not an option for a Christian. We have to continue to pursue excellence. And we have to bring our brother and sister along with us. So quitting's not an option for us. If you want to quit mediocrity, yeah, quit mediocrity, but don't quit pursuing excellence. Even Jesus said, and we talked about this in class in the past, and there'll be a couple other verses that we see, Jesus said that these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but he says, their heart's far from me. They don't want to pursue me. He says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so Jesus said, look, their heart is far from me. And so when you think about it, that's what happens. The pursuit of excellence, like it is a choice, pursuit of excellence is a matter of the heart. Where is our heart? We talked about it a little bit in class this morning, about being pilgrims and sojourners on this earth. Is that where we are? I think about when Timothy received this letter from Paul. Just think about if you were Timothy and reading it. Like in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, he refers to him as my son. And so I am put this behind me, he says, but you, my son, O man of God. And it's kind of funny when you pick verses, sometimes you don't really think about it or you don't go back and look. But this one hit me a little bit different this time when Paul was writing in Timothy. He says, you, my son. He says, O man of God. Now you're an addition to a son, but he says, O man of God. Flee these things. The things that cause you or will cause you to lose your life, your eternal life, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. But keeping with our theme this year, I thought, well, what happens if we say pursue or imitate Christ in righteousness, in godliness, in faith and love, patience and gentleness. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And he told Timothy, look, pursue these things, just like Christ did. Pursue them. The Hebrew writer said, even look, go back, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider Christ, who endured all these things for you and for me. But then the Hebrew writer goes on and says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And sometimes we as Christians, if we're not careful, we just let the world get us to us and beat us down. We need to go back and look at Christ. And he says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. If we take all this stuff that's all around us, we let the world beat us down, we can become discouraged. And so the Hebrew writer says, look, consider him, consider Christ. And then he goes on in verses 12 and 13, he says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down. When you think about that, sometimes people just want to just drop their hands and just give up. Remember we talked about a minute ago is that quitting is not an option for the Christian. And so when he says, look, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. When you feel weak, strengthen those things. And your brother and sister can help you do that. Make straight paths for your feet. We have a goal and objective is heaven, and just keep focused on what's ahead of us. Make those ways straight. He says that you, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And so strengthen the hands. Don't give up. Pursue excellence. Hebrews, as we continue in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 14, this is a really strong verse when you sit and you think about and you look at this verse 14 and the verse that follows it in verse 15, when he says, pursue peace. With whom? Just whomever you want. But he says, pursue peace with all people. And not only pursue peace with all people, pursue holiness. Without which no one will see the Lord. Look what he said, pursue peace with all people and holiness. If you don't pursue those things, and that's not part of your checklist, the things that you need to be working on every single day, Hebrew writer says, no one's going to see the Lord if you don't do these things. And then he goes on in verse 15, he says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And that's part of pursuing excellence, is that we need to think of those things. We need to be pursuing holiness. And if we don't, we need to be careful, because lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. So how can we achieve excellence? You in your mind right now can think of a lot of different ways. How can I do a better job today than I did yesterday? What can I do tomorrow that I'm not doing today? And it just kind of made me go back and think about what Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 2, when he says, don't be conformed to this world. You Romans, look, don't be conformed to this world. It's really easy for us to be conformed to this world. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's got to be a transition. And I think we talked about this before, too, is that when you think about, you know, how a caterpillar, when it goes through the process and it goes through the metamorphosis and it changes from one thing to another, from a caterpillar as it goes through this process and becomes a beautiful butterfly. And that's what he's talking about, is being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we need to be pursuing. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That's what our pursuit needs to be. Aristotle put it like this in one of his quotes. He says, we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. If you get up every morning and do the same thing every day, you create a habit, right? Some of those habits may be good, and some may not be. But he goes on, he says, excellence, then, it's not an act, but a habit. It's something that we do every day. And sometimes we're able to create new habits. It doesn't take you very hard to break a habit, but it takes a while for you to create good habits. And they say if you start something and it takes you like 30 days to create a good habit. But Aristotle said, look, excellence then is not an act. I'm not there to act and put on a show. But excellence is a habit. Jesus in Matthew, the 5th chapter, says, look, you are the light of the world. And we talked about that this morning in the Romans class that Brian was teaching, where he says, put on the armor of light. And Jesus says, look, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they set light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that it gives light to all who are in the house. And so part of our practice should be being lights of the world. If you're a complainer, and all you do is complain about your job, complain about your life, the things that you don't have, this and that, whatever the case may be, what kind of light is that putting off? And so they're going like, I thought he or she was a Christian. Have you ever known somebody that you're going to say, don't ask them how they're doing today, because they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you every little ache, pain, what they don't have. They're going to go through this whole litany of things that they just don't like. And so sometimes we don't ask people how they're feeling because we know what the answer is going to be. But we need to be lights of the world. We need to have people see Christ in us. We need to imitate Christ so they can see. And so remember that you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And Peter wrote down, he says, look, you are a chosen generation. And this is what we need to think about. This is what we are in the sight of God. He says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. We are the light in a dark world. And sometimes the only Bible that somebody sees is Christ in us. They see our light. He says that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God's called us out of this world. And so we need to remember those things. Peter going on, he says, you who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, and that was the Gentiles. He says, look, you weren't. The Jews were God's chosen people. But what we've been studying too in the past is that the new Israel, the children of God, those who have been born again, he says, look, you are now the people of God. You weren't, but now you are. You did not obtain mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. And that's the thought that we need to think about, is that we have obtained mercy in the sight of God. That we'll escape the condemnation that's in the world if we are obedient to His word. John, in 1 John 4, he says, look, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And that's one of the things that, to me, sometimes is the toughest thing for us, is there are things that, you've heard that phrase in business, is like, you need to learn how to step out of the box. Sometimes we put ourselves in this little box, and this is our definition of Christianity, but there's a whole lot more outside that box that we're saying that's our life. And sometimes it takes getting afraid, doing some things that we haven't done before, pursuing things that we haven't done before. But John says, look, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out. If we're doing it for the right reasons, even if it's hard, love is going to help us get through that. He continues on, he says, fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we love him because he first loved us. And that's how we know how to love others. And that's how we know. There's a lot of things I'm sure that Jesus did, that, especially as he was approaching the cross. Remember, he says, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Think about the things that Paul went through, the things that he endured. But he kept right on pushing, kept right on going. He never took his gaze and his focus off Jesus. That's what I want, and there's nothing going to be here to stop me. And we love him because he first loved us. And that's how we know how to love others, is the love that God had for us and the love that Christ had for us. Paul, writing to the Colossians, he says, look, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so when you think at this, he says, look, you do all. Everything that God wants you to do, you do it. And then you give thanks. And sometimes you want to give up. James said, look, count it all joy when you face these temptations and you make through. Count it all joy. But he says, give thanks to God for the things that you do have. Change the attitude in which you live, or with which you live, and continue to pursue excellence. Be the kind of person that God wants us to be. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, he says in verse 14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren. And look at the list that he gives here. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. And be patient with all. Warn, comfort, uphold, and be patient. It's a big list of things to do. Things that some of us need to work on. He says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Pursue excellence. Pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Bring somebody along with you. We're all on the same road. Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Once again, pursue. Continue to make that trek, to continue to pursue excellence in our lives. Pursue the things that make for peace and really what edifies another. We need to be lifting people up. We don't need to be tearing people down. So I want you to think of this as we go through this, the closing of some of these thoughts, is that excellence means being our best. Not from the standpoint of being better than everybody else. Look at me. I'm going to step on you, but I'm going to get what I want. But look, excellence means being our best. Everything that we can do, we need to strive to be our best. Excellence means being better today than we were yesterday and better tomorrow than we were today. And I know that all of us can look at things that are doing now and say, look, I can improve in this area, and we need to strive to do that. And then excellence means matching our practices or our habits with our potential. We know that we can do better. We just need to make a habit out of it. Not just doing some things by chance, but they need to be a permanent part of our life. We're to be our best, or to be the best we can be as we serve our Lord daily. Not every first day of the week when we come together, not on Wednesday, but it's a daily life that we all live. We're called to seek His will and His purpose. Are we doing that? We need to look at our lives every single day. And am I really pursuing His will? Am I really pursuing His purpose of what He wants me to be? And we're called to be the people of God, the people God has called us to be. God doesn't want a bunch of mediocre people. He wants us to be those people that he can look down and say, I'm real pleased in what they're doing and how they're doing. They're striving to live their lives according to my word. And so let us be a people pursuing excellence on our daily lives. So remember this. Don't look back, because you're not going that way. That's one of the things that Paul said, right? He says, I don't look back. He told the Philippians, he says, brother, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I don't think any of you or I have stood by and watched Christians being murdered. To stand there and to support that. I'm always amazed at Paul, the things that he did before he became a Christian. That he says, look, I forget those things that are behind and I reach forward. He knew what he had done. He knew that he was forgiven. But the fact of the matter is, he said, look, I reach forward. And sometimes I've heard people say, oh, God could never love me. God could never forgive me. God could blah, 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 blah. Always finding excuses. But Paul says, look, I forget what's behind. And I look forward. And that's what you and I need to do. Is that we need to look forward. Because we can't do anything if we're always looking in the rearview mirror. We have a goal and an objective to achieve. We have a place where we want to be. And he continues in verse 14. When he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That was his whole pursuit. That's how he could look behind. If I'm living behind, I can't do anything. He wanted to bring others with him to Christ. If you think about all the letters that he had written and what he tried to do to encourage brothers and sisters to live their lives right. That's what he said, look, I press forward to the goal. I have a goal. I can't change anything that was behind. But I want that prize. And there's nothing going to stop me from doing it or getting it. So when you look at this, and these next three pictures kind of make me think about it. It's like, you see a child, he's fearful of what he's doing, but what is he? He takes one step at a time. He continues to do that. And one of the things that we need to do is we just need to overcome our fears, pursue excellence, and do what's right in the sight of God. And we got to keep going down the path. We got to head to our goal. This child has training wheels on. And you and I may be riding with our training wheels on. But we got to be able to improve ourselves to the point where we can take those training wheels off. That we can live our lives much better than riding with training wheels on. And some of us may still have our training wheels on. And then we got to go. Oh, this picture is kind of interesting because this kid is like laying flat. That's not me. But he's smiling. And that's how we ought to pursue life. We ought to go through life going that God has blessed me. I got things to be happy about. And I just need to find them. And I just need to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. So remember that excellence is a direction that we should all be pursuing. We need to be looking up, not behind, not below. So if you're here this morning and never obeyed the gospel of Christ, then you've heard the word. But maybe there may be more that you need to understand. But we need to hear what God's word says. We need to believe in what he says. We need to repent of the sins that we've committed in the past, forget them, correct our lives and move forward. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then we need to be baptized into Christ, to wash away our sins, to be faithful unto him, and to live faithful unto death. So if we can be of assistance to you in any time, any way this morning, whether you need the prayers of the congregation or we can help you in your obedience to Christ, Please come forward as we stand and sing number 540, Come Unto Me.